This sound was recorded on June the 2nd, 1960, Sitter Rose Crete, medium Leslie Flint.
Communicator, Frédéric Chopin. This tape recording is not a complete full-length recording of the original seance. Part of the seance was personal to Mrs. Crete, and only the general and interesting remarks made by Frédéric Chopin have been recorded for replay.
Frédéric, how are the people getting on in the lower spheres, where you know you've been going down to them?
Some of them very well, others not so good. Some make a little progression, but yes. Many do not. It is very difficult. We try to change the mentality, the outlook. Some cases we succeed, in many cases we do not succeed. But there are always some that we can help. But everything depends on the individual, that they show some initiative, you know, that they show some interest, that they want to be helped, then we can help them. But some are so blind, you know, that you cannot make them see.
Yes. David has made a vast improvement, hasn't he?
Oh, he has a remarkable development. He has a very good soul. He already do a great deal to help people. He is much nearer in some ways, of course, and it is easier for him to help some people more than perhaps some of us can help, you know?
Yes.
Because he is nearer to the conditions.
Oh, yes.
But he has made marvelous progression. He is a very fine person.
Yes.
What should we talk about?
Anything you like.
Well, I like to talk about you.
Me?
Well, last time when I spoke about
you,
I was so disappointed because the recording was destroyed. No good, you know. It was a pity.
Yes.
I know it is, as I've said to you so often, difficult for you to associate yourself with certain aspects of the past. The past for you is something which is hidden to a great extent, and you are anxious to know, and in some ways we are anxious to tell you as best we can, but one must always appreciate the fact that we progress, and as we progress, so we are able to shake from us many of the old things, many of the old ideas. We develop, we progress, otherwise it would be pointless and worthless, our lives. We do not stay the same, we change. And sometimes to look back is a good thing, but sometimes to forget some things is also good. The thing is always to know how much to tell you and how much we can tell you, and what is good for you to know. But I think what is important, more important than anything, is the present state of one's being, whether it is like yourself on your side of life, whether it is myself on my side of life, to the degree of development that I have come. The thing is to be fully conscious of what we have become. And it is good in some ways to realize and to remember what we were. But the important thing is the moment. The past is precious, important, but it is not so vital. After all, it is also the future. It is strange, perhaps you sometimes think, that we on this side can talk about the present, the past, and the future, when it is all one. It is all like a line that has no beginning and no end, through which we travel. It is as if we are going through phases and variation of experience and existence, and we are never stationary, never still. We are evidently always, how you say, striving, always attaining, always achieving a little more, a little greater realization of what we are, what we can be. And we look back and we see, it is like the steps of the ladder on which we climb. Each rung is important. When we start off, if we have vision at all, we look ahead and we see the ladder disappearing into space. It has no end, and it seems insurmountable. It seems impossible that we can ever climb, and yet we know that in time and experience we do climb. We climb to great heights, and the higher we climb, the more difficult it is to look down. And when we look down, we are very afraid. When I say afraid, we are concerned, not for ourselves, but for those further down the rung of the ladder.
Mm.
And we feel anxious that we might in some measure be able to assist them. That is why we return. We return for various reasons, it is true, but our main reason for coming back, for coming down, as it were, the scale, is that we might in some measure be able to help some soul over a difficult period in their life, to give them a new realization of the possibility that lies within themselves, to help them to overcome the worser self, that they might find the true self, and in consequence have no fear, but to steadily and surely climb to the heights of realization and attainment. And until one can shake from oneself this fear, this dread that so many people have in your world, of death, the realization that life continues, that love is the all-conquering power that overcomes all things, all evils, all the things that hold man back from true progression. When one realizes this tremendous force within ourselves for good, we shake from ourselves all the fears, and our steps are firm and sure. We climb, and we achieve, and we attain. And if we look back, we realize not fear for ourselves, but fear for those less fortunate, and we want to help them in return and give them a hand to come upwards, to join us, to be with us. We want to make all the world conscious of the possibility within man himself.
Yes, I know. I realize that.
But there are many people in your world that have achieved a great deal, but they do not talk about it, and in some instances they may not even be conscious about it. And I think that is true, that those who progress most are least conscious of their progression. They may look around them and see the undeveloped, the uninitiated, the souls that are striving and struggling and often failing again and again. But even so, in their realization of themselves, they are so humble that they do not see their own goodness. They only in fact see their own faults and are ever conscious that they must strive even harder. True progression can only come when man is most humble in himself, when he does not strive for self in the sense that some people use the term, but he strives that he might be more able to assist others, less fortunate. You know, it is always essential to remember that when you give out, you do not do it because you want to receive in return. You do it because you want to give, you want to help, you want to encourage, you want to make people conscious of their true selves, that they might achieve from their own effort. One may point the way, one may uplift, one may show the path, but one may not walk it for them. One may sometimes help them a little, but it is not wise often to help too much, for unless we make a person strong and able to care for themselves, able to achieve for themselves, it is useless. There are many people in your world who seem to make some form of progression through the efforts of other people, but of nothing in their own way of initiative. That is not progression. In fact, sometimes it is even worse for them, for when they are left to themselves, when they are left to make the effort themselves, because they've been shown the path, they fall back, and in consequence often are worse off. You know, there are many people in your world who have been given some insight, been given some truth. They have a grasp, as it were, of some things, but they themselves are weak and changeable. They are not sure, they are uncertain, they are feared, they are afraid. Death frightens them, they are uncertain about it. Even in spite of the things they've been told, the things that they feel in themselves are so weak. You know, religions remind me of this, because there are so many varying religions, so many creeds, And many people are very sincere and do try very hard to live the life as they feel they should. And they strive, and yet they are full of fear. They have not found the solace and the truth that you have found. You do not go to church, you do not go to pray, but what is important is that you know truth, you have seen truth,
yes.
And in your heart you strive. It is not always possible to succeed, but you strive to do what you feel is right for others, and that is important. It is the same with music, it is the same in all things that are good. Only those who strive and struggle, only those who are conscious of what a thing can be, what it should be, are the ones who really succeed. There are many in your world who are technically, as I've often said to you, brilliant, not only in music, but in other things. There are people in your world who, I suppose, in some senses could be called technically brilliant in their particular religious viewpoint, inasmuch that they have a great deal of truth, they have a great deal of knowledge, a great deal of realization. They have also a great deal of opportunity to live this religion and to work it out so that it can indeed be a true salvation for themselves and for others. But they are weak and vacillating, they are full of fear, they are full of doubts, they do not know with any real certainty about certain things that they should be conscious of. In other words, sometimes they are prepared to throw responsibilities of their own lives on others, and in consequence, though they have in some senses, perhaps as the world sees it, made progress, they have not really made progress in a true spiritual sense. For no one can shirk responsibility, no one can play the piano unless he is prepared to practice, prepared to give all that he can give, realizing the great possibilities of constant study, constant applying himself to his art, for the realization that from within himself is the power and the possibility to develop in such a way that he can become a great musician, a great artist, or whatever it happens to be that he is studying or wanting to do. And so it is that you have many people who are very mediocre. There are many people who are technically brilliant and yet have no soul, unless a thing springs from within oneself, that you do it because you want to do it for love and love only, because you are conscious only of the goodness that is there, and you want to express it and the world to know of it. You want them to hear and be assured that God is, and that God is good, and that love pervades all things. These things that we express, in whatever form we may take, whether it is in music or in other ways, only can it be a success if it comes from the soul. The body may be weak, the body may be frail, the way may be hard and difficult, there may be few friends, there may be obstacles, there may be all kinds of things to make it almost impossible as the world sees it. But if the soul is sure of its course and it fights for its freedom to express itself, nothing can hold it back. But in your world, people are weak. They are not very strong. They have beliefs, but they do not have strength behind their belief. They do not put into practice the things they feel and know. They do not do things because they may be considered, perhaps, in some quarters, foolish. They may be considered unwise. And yet it is in humbleness of spirit and in the certainty and surety of the soul's understanding and realization that strength lies. But people are afraid of things like the soul and the spirit. They are only assured of the body. They are only assured of the day, from the morning to the sun is setting. They do not believe in anything that they do not see or cannot touch, cannot feel. And yet in their hearts they know these things are not real. They are the intangible things. They seem tangible, they seem real, they seem solid, but they know that they must pass away from them. And the things that are secure, the things that remain, the things that hold fast, are the things from within oneself, things of the soul. These are the realities. People know this, but are afraid of it, and will not admit it to themselves. It is difficult to make people know to realize these things.
Thank you, Frederick.
That's why I always say to you that you are a fine musician, not because you can sit at a piano and play the notes, no matter how well or how badly. That does not make a decision. It is how you feel, and what you feel, and how you express that which you know is music. Your fingers may not respond, but the music that is created in the atmosphere around you, that is what matters. That is the truth of music. It is what you are in yourself, what you give out, what you give to the world, what you feel, what you sense, what you know, what you are. You may go into a room and there is music, and yet it is metallic. It is as hollow and as unsound as the people that are sitting there and the person that is playing. Technically it may sound, as the world understands it, brilliant, but it is still metallic and without soul, like often the people who sit around and applaud. But the person who fumbles and is uncertain and is indeed conscious of their own inferiority, in their heart, in their soul, there is music. There is great beauty, and that is what matters. They bring an illumination and a light that outdims all the others. You know, we see differently because we know differently. We understand differently. For we only understand truth. We are not concerned with the facade. We are not concerned with the front. We are not concerned with the splendor, whatever form it may take. We are only concerned with what is. And what we know is permanent. What we know is lasting. What we know is of God, for good music. Whether it is music that is created in the sense as you understand it upon an instrument in your world, it is the spirit, what the person is, what the soul is displaying. It is the virtuosity of the soul that matters, how it can express itself, how it makes itself felt, how its music vibrates in the harmony of the spheres. And even those who do not understand feel the presence, feel the beauty, feel the lasting joy of it. These are the things that are important. It is the music of the soul, and that is what I try to put into my music when I was on your side. That is often why I get so impatient with myself and my piano and my friends sometimes. It's because even they could not see. It is true they would praise. It is true they would say this or that was beautiful or this or that was wonderful. But in my heart I knew that they did not see fully what I tried to convey, because they could not quite touch my heart. But nevertheless, we must make allowances, for we must remember that all God's children are on different starters of being. We must try to meet them, as it were, on their own level, even though it means that we must lower our own. For in doing that, we are doing a great thing. We are not belittling ourselves. We are making ourselves even higher, even greater in spirit and in truth. We do not think of self, for when we forget self, we are not even conscious of stepping down, as it were, from one heaven to a lower. We are only conscious of love, which links us together with all the children of the universe, irrespective of what they may be or what they are. But we are only conscious of one thing, what they can become, and that one day they will learn to appreciate, they will learn to realize that the true self, the true individual self, the soul, will find its way to soar away from the things which bind and make it impossible for the time for them to see and to know. We know the chains will be broken when all humanity will be free, and they will see and know and understand and dwell in harmony and peace and in love as we do. And we must be patient, we must be tolerant, we must try to understand the reasons why people do not see as we see, why they do not understand as we understand, why they cannot make harmony out of chaos. We must try to teach them the path and the way. We must be patient with them, as indeed most often we must be patient with ourselves when we fail in our attempts to serve and to help. We have great responsibilities. I come to you and I but one of thousands of people who come from our world of spirit to work and to help and to guide and to uplift as far as it is in our power, those who will enable us to do so. We cannot force our will upon people, it is not our desire to do so. But where we see the spark, where we see the desire in our heart for illumination, where we see by the very vibration around an individual, by the very color, as it were, of the auric emanation, we are able to enter into that to some extent and help them, to uplift them, to make it possible for them to see a little further. We are all travelers on the road. Some are weary and footsore. Others go forward with great strides. They have greater strength, greater understanding, greater nobility of mind, which makes it possible for them to do so. But even those who stride forward with strength do not fail to stop by the wayside to help those less fortunate. For the only way that we can achieve real understanding, real development of the mind and the spirit, is when we forget ourselves. How strange it is when you think there are so many who have so much and yet have so little. Those who often have so little have so much more. We do not, as you well know, see as the world sees. But this I know, as I said to you before. You have great strength, a great inner strength, a great realization, a great power, a great force, and above all a great love, which makes all things possible for you. You may look around you, and sometimes you may sigh, sometimes you may be sad, and sometimes you may feel helpless. But you have achieved more than you will ever know. For you give out love, you give out understanding and sympathy. Your heart is full for all God's creatures, no matter whom they may be or where they may be. If it is only but the bird that is on the wing, you would take it and cherish it and guide it and help it if you could. To me, there is more music in your soul than any musician I know in your world. And that to me is all I expect, all I want, all I ask. My love and blessings be with you. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Frederick. Thank you.